him here, the plague seek him there. Those Frenchies seek him everywhere. Is he in heaven? Is he in hell? That germ is elusive. Pimpernel.
Presenting Marius Gorin, star of the motion picture Red Shoes, as Baroness Orff's immortal character, the Scarlet Pimpernel. The Adventures of the Scarlet Pimpernel, starring Marius Goring as Sir Percy Blakeney.
It was Tony Dewhurst, of course, who first met Margot Verradou in a little tavern off the Rue Saint-Honoré. And it was from him I learned of her for the first time that same evening as we dined at our Paris headquarters, the inn called Les Trois Épis.
Oh, she's quite lovely, Blakeney. The perfect type of French beauty.
Yes, and you've fallen suddenly, madly, passionately in love with her.
Oh, Tony, what will all your English girls say?
No, you don't understand.
No? No, I'm in earnest, Blakeney. It's not I who's fallen in love with her. It's Chauvin.
What?
I'm trying to tell you. Our old enemy, Citizen Chauvin, is in love with this girl.
Well, if she's all you say of her, I'd never have credited him with such good taste.
What you should know by now, he's a sort who can never resist a beautiful woman.
And does she share this passion of his?
Oh, of course not.
Why, of course not?
Well, that's the whole point of the story.
Oh, there is a story, eh?
Well, most certainly is. And as far as Chauvin is concerned, a very typical one, too.
Well, let's hear it.
Now, she was married about 6 months ago. Her husband, Jean-Pierre Verradou, was a minor government official whose duties brought him into occasional contact with Chauvin. Now, that's what began it all. Verradou took his wife as a guest to some small official function. Chauvin saw her, fell wildly in love with her.
And so exit Monsieur Verradou, I presume?
No, not at once. At first, Chauvin thought he'd play the game the other way. He went out of his way to make a friend of Verradou. Gave him preferment in his job, promotion.
Willful tactics. First win the wife's gratitude, then woo her.
Exactly.
And how did it work out?
Well, from Chauvin's point of view, it didn't work out at all. Naturally, Margot was grateful. When Chauvin began hinting that he'd like her gratitude to take the form, well, of more than mere words, she doesn't know quite emphatically that she loved her husband and that in no circumstances would she betray him.
What happened then?
Just what you'd expect.
Chauvin turned nasty, eh?
Very nasty. Verradou was reduced to his old job and to an even more minor one.
And when threats took the place of cajolery,
Margot remained as adamant as ever. Finally, a week ago, Verradou was arrested.
Oh, on what charge?
Embezzlement and misappropriation of government funds. The documentary evidence against him was forged, of course, but we hadn't any way of proving it. Yesterday he stood his trial and was found guilty and sentenced to 20 years in prison.
Oh, I think you're right, Tony. It is a typical story. And about as old as history.
Damnable to think a man like Chauvin should have such power and should wield it so unscrupulously.
Well, that's the way of the world, Tony. But the point is, what are we going to do about it?
You mean that we're... Well,
it's part of your mission in life to go out to the aid of beauty in distress, isn't it?
Well, yes.
And I wouldn't miss such a chance of tweaking Chauvelin's nose for all the rice and cafe. When can I meet this Margot Verradou?
Whenever you wish.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow it shall be.
She was all Tony had said and more. And yet somehow it wasn't her beauty that impressed me so much as the quality of... I don't know. I suppose goodness is the word. A sort of inner radiance that was at once calm and yet vibrant with life. Please forgive me if I describe her clumsily. I am no poet. I cannot find the right words for Margot Verradou. You know England, madame?
A little. I was there as a child.
Suppose, Well, let us suppose that my friend and I were able to arrange your husband's escape.
Escape?
Yes, that's what I said, madam.
Would that be possible?
Oh, it has been done before. Could be done again. Suppose, as I say, it were. You realize, of course, you would be both fugitives, not only from the private vengeance of Chauvelin, but from France itself.
Yes.
And would you be prepared, both your husband and yourself, to forsake your own country and spend the rest of your lives in England?
That could be done, too.
Yes. Well, let's get down to practical details. If my friend and I are to engineer your husband's release, we'll need your active help, I'm afraid.
You may count on me for anything.
Anything?
Even my life would not be too big a price for Jean-Pierre's safety.
Well, I don't think we need to go quite as far as that. I wonder.
You wonder what, monsieur?
And I was wondering how good an actress you are.
As good as every woman is.
Could you make a convincing pretense of liking the man you loathe most on earth? I mean, could you dine with him, drink with him, laugh and joke with him, be gay and provocative with him, flirt with him, suffer him to touch you, perhaps?
For the sake of my husband?
Yes.
Look at me, monsieur. Look at me well. Do you still want an answer?
No, madame. My apology for having asked the question. Now, have you any way to gain access to Chauvelin?
I have only to go to his office and send him my name.
Good. You will go there this morning.
Yes?
You will beg him to intercede on your husband's behalf. You will tell him you have new evidence, which he'll know to be untrue, of course.
Mm?
You will say... let me think now. Maybe a little difficult.
Exactly what is it that you have in mind, monsieur?
Well, what I really want you to do is to find some excuse to dine with him tonight.
Is that all?
You think you can arrange it without arousing his suspicion?
But of course, monsieur. Where do you wish us to dine?
Well, there's a tavern called The Thousand Flowers in the Rue Saint-Augustin. You know it?
Yes.
It has a private rooms on the first floor, very lavish, with velvet hangings, very discreet.
At the time?
8 o'clock.
We shall be there, monsieur. My dear friend, Chauvelin. And I.
Yes, there were several preparations to be made. A small phial of a colorless fluid to be collected from a certain old apothecary I knew. Documents to be inscribed and forged with a signature of Chauvelin. And then promptly, at 8 o'clock, from the shadow of a doorway in the Rue Saint-Augustin, Tony and I watched the carriage stop outside the tavern of the Thousand Flowers. 9 o'clock. In the private room, the meal was over, and Margot and Chauvelin sat to their wine. The talk so far had been general, but already the wine was beginning to loosen Chauvelin's tongue.
That pity about your husband, my dear. A great pity. Everyone liked him so much. Everyone trusted him. Like a shock, I can tell you.
Oh, I thought I knew him so well.
It is natural you should think so, madame. Who is better qualified to know a man than his own wife? You have been married only a few months, you know.
Yes, that's true. Perhaps, in a way, it was my fault.
Your fault? My dear. I will hear no such thing.
I like to live well, you see. I have such expensive taste in clothes and jewels.
Oh, of course you have. So has every beautiful woman, and rightly so.
Perhaps he found my demands beyond his thirst. Perhaps that is why you chose.
Then more fool. No man should ever take a wife he cannot afford. If you will pardon what may seem an impertinence, my dear, I cannot think why you ever agreed to marry him.
I believed I loved you.
Besides,
every woman should marry. She needs the security that marriage offers.
And what security is there in being the wife of a convicted embezzler?
I do not know. It will turn out like this. Your glass is empty. Allow me.
Thank you. Thank you, my dear. What beautiful hands you have. So slim and full of grace. So cool to the touch. You could have done so much better for yourself, Margot. So much better.
You think I was unwise to marry Jean-Pierre?
But of course. There are many men in Paris, rich and powerful men, who would have given much for the favor of your smile. And who still would.
Well, what maybe?
I assure you.
But I have never met any such man.
You know one.
Mm-hmm.
No. I mean myself.
Sorry, yes.
Margot. You cannot fail to know that from our first meeting I have been most deeply attracted to you. Since then my devotion has never wavered. Indeed, it's grown stronger and stronger till sometimes I feel it will consume me in time.
Oh, no, monsieur.
Your vision before me constantly. I cannot work for thinking of you. I cannot sleep. And when I do, you are always in my dreams. Your beauty haunts me night and day. Be kind, Margot. Be kind. You will never regret it, I swear. I can can give you all the things you want. The finest clothes, diamonds, and pearl servants to wait on you. If only you will be kind.
Monsieur, you touch me. That is
it. I do. And there is some hope. Some little hope.
I wish I could say that there were, but you thought yes.
Thought of what?
I am not free. I already have a husband.
A husband who is doomed to spend his next 20 years in jail. Who will probably never come out of it alive.
That makes my marriage vows to him no less binding.
Suppose you were to die.
Huh?
Of a jail fever, of a sudden.
That is not likely.
Well, these things can be arranged.
But you don't mean... Oh, no. I could not be a party to anything like that.
Think of it, Marco. Think what it would mean to be my wife. Never mind the wealth, that is unimportant. But think of the power it would give you. Power. That is all that is real. That is all that really matters in life. You would be the queen of the salon, the mistress of Paris.
You overwhelm me, monsieur. I must have time to consider.
No. You must decide. No.
I am so confused. Oh,
what is it?
Someone at the window, hear me.
Nonsense.
I'm sure of it, I think. I must look at it. Please, go and make sure.
Certainly, my dear. No. No one here?
You're quite sure?
What? You must not let your imagination play you such tricks.
I'm sorry. It was stupid of me.
Martha, your answer. Your answer, what is it to be?
Let us drink a toast.
A toast?
To Monsieur and Madame Chauvin.
You mean?
To us?
I have waited so long for this moment. To see you in my arms. To feel you warm and vibrant and alive.
No, please, not yet. First, the toast.
Yes, of course. The toast. To you, my love.
To you.
And now...
And now, monsieur, you will see.
What do you mean? Don't want to sleep.
Nevertheless, you will. And soundly, I swear.
I tell you what. Now, go, come back. You're going away from me. Everything's going away.
Let them dream, monsieur.
Wine. Drugs. That's it. You devil. You beautiful devil.
Marius Goring returns as the Scarlet Pimpernel. Scarlet Pimpernel.
In 15 minutes, the change was complete. Standing before a mirror, I added a final line or two to my face. Then I turned.
Well, I'm gonna permit me to introduce my good friend, Citizen Chauvelin.
Isn't that amazing?
You think I'll pass?
I never have believed it possible. But your face is... And he's not so different in every way. You must be withered, monsieur.
Oh, it's quite simple when you know the technique.
But your voice will give you away.
Oh, that.
One learns to change the voice as well as the face, madame.
Why, it is not true. It can't be. But you are Chauvelin.
Oh, heaven forbid. I'd drown myself forth within the thread if I thought that.
You've got the document, Clayton.
Yes. Now, you understand quite clearly what you've got to do. You're both to remain here till I get back.
Yes.
With luck, I should be back within the hour.
Bye-bye, Blakeney.
Au revoir, monsieur. And God be with you.
We had learned that Verdoux was in a prison near Salazar. 15 minutes later, in answer to my insistent knocking, the main door of the prison was opened. I strode inside, demanded to see the governor, Colonel Legrand. He was, I knew, a friend of Chauvelin, and if my disguise deceived him, all would be well. There was a brief delay, and then a man came forward. It was not Legrand.
What is this? You are not Legrand. Where is he? I wish to see him.
I'm sorry, citizen Chauvelin. The colonel is not here tonight.
Damnation. I particularly wanted to see him.
Is there anything I can do for you, citizen?
Who are you?
I am Captain Tolley, chief warder at your service, citizen.
Oh, you will have to do, I suppose. You have here a prisoner, one Jean-Pierre Verdoux.
Yes, citizen.
Fetch him to me.
Fetch him to you?
That is what I said.
But, well, you wish to see him in his cell.
I do not wish to see him in his cell. I wish you to fetch him here. I have an escort outside. I propose to take him away.
Take him away?
Do not keep repeating everything I say.
But I don't understand, citizen.
If you must know, it has come to my knowledge that an attempt is to be made tonight to effect his escape.
Oh, you need have no fear of that. He is too well guarded. I can give you a personal guarantee.
I am not be too free with my guarantees if I were you, Captain. The man we have to deal with is the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Englishman,
precisely.
That's different.
Very different. What his exact plans are, I do not know. But he is as cunning as the devil. And a past master at the art of disguise. And that is why I want to get Verdoux away from here.
I see your point, sir. May I ask where you propose to take him?
To a certain dungeon I know where he will be beyond reach of even the Pimpernel.
I hope you don't think I'm being difficult. But you have a written authority for the transfer?
Yes, of course. Here it is, signed and sealed.
Thank you, citizen. You understand, I'm sure. Regulations.
Yes, go on. You find it in order, I
think. Oh, perfectly in order, sir. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Bring Verdoux here at once.
Very good, sir.
You do well to keep alert tonight, Captain.
I will, sir. I assure you.
Should anything unusual happen, be on your guard. I tell you, there is no limit to the ingenuity of this Englishman.
So I have heard, sir.
And remember, there is a price on his head. If you are able to come to me tomorrow and say, I have caught the Pimpernel, you will be richer by 10,000 francs.
If he dares step foot inside the place, I'll nab him, sir. You can be sure of that.
I hope so, indeed.
Half an hour later, I was back at the tavern of 1,000 Flowers. Chauvelin was still peacefully asleep. As I changed again, this time into the uniform of an officer of the guard, I told Tony and Margot of what had transpired at the prison.
And he is all right? Really all right? I mean, they haven't here treated him or anything like that?
He's perfectly fit.
Oh, thank heaven for that. Where is he now?
At our headquarters, changing into more presentable clothes, and I dare say making his way to an oversized meal.
What can I say, monsieur? How can I begin to express my gratitude?
Well, please don't try. There's no time anyway. You two must go now. The minutes ticked by and turned into hours as I sat and waited. Minutes and hours, each one of which took Tony and Verdoux closer to safety. I was playing for time for them. And even after Chauvelin awoke, I would continue to play for him. Dawn was creeping through the window, and the clock stood at 5:30 when finally he stirred. His eyes opened, and for a while he stared at the ceiling. Then he turned and saw me.
Where am I? Who are you?
Good morning, citizen Chauvelin. You slept well, I trust.
Well, of course I remember now. That woman, Marco Verdoux. She drank my wine, the cunning little jade. I've got to get out of here.
Not so fast, citizen.
But I tell you.
This pistol is loaded, my friend. You wouldn't wish me to give an excuse to press the trigger, I'm sure.
This is monstrous! An outrage!
Stop spluttering with indignation, Chauvelin. Yeah. It makes you look even more ridiculous than usual.
How dare you speak to me like that? I don't know who you are, but I warn you, you shan't wear that captain's tunic much longer. I'll have you reduced to the ranks. I'll have you dismissed from the...
Now, let's go a step further. Why not take some evidence against me and have me arrested for embezzlement? You're rather good at that sort of thing, I hear.
I do not know what you're talking about.
You will, my friend. Stand up.
What?
I said stand up. That's more like it. A bit fuddled still, eh? Never mind, you will get over it. Now you sit down at that table. That's the idea. That's right. Your pen and paper. Now write.
Write what?
An order for the release of Jean-Pierre Veradoux.
I am damned if I will.
You were damned in your cradle. You will do as you're told if you value your life.
Right. There. You need not think you're going to get away with it, whoever you are. Veradoux is a masked man. And so will you be. I will hunt you both down, I swear it.
And Madame Veradoux as well, I dare say.
Madame Veradoux as well.
An empty threat is like an empty jug, Chauvelin. It makes a lot of sound, but it signifies nothing. In England, they have a saying...
In England?
Now I know you.
You are the Scarlet Pimpernel.
I thought you'd have guessed that by now.
By heaven, one of these days I will catch you.
No more idle threats, please. They have to get a little wearing, you know. Let's go, shall we?
Go?
Oh, yes, I forgot to explain. I made a discreet inquiry last night at the jail near Saint-Lazare. It appears that if I'm going to secure Veradoux's release, I shall need more than your signed authority. I shall need you there in person.
Ah, that may make things a little difficult for you.
Not at all. We'll merely go there together. I'll hand over the authority, you will verify it, and Veradoux will be released. Of course, you may be foolhardy enough to try some trick, but I wouldn't if I were you. You see, I still have this pistol, and even if they did catch me, you'd not be alive to enjoy the satisfaction of it. So, off we go, monsieur. To Saint-Lazare. So, the second time in 9 hours, I entered the prison near Saint-Lazare. Once more, it was the chief warder, Captain Tourville, who came forward to receive us.
Good morning, Citizen Chauvelin. I hardly expected to see you again so soon.
Again?
Captain Tourville is referring to your visit to last night, Citizen.
But I wasn't.
You were on the watch.
Of course. My visit last night.
Oh, you must forgive Citizen Chauvelin. He is a little bemused. His memories of last night are slightly clouded.
Ah, so it seems.
I have this paper for you, Captain.
Thank you. Don't. Very interesting.
Captain Tourville.
Yes?
Ignore that letter. I was forced to write it under duress. Seize that man.
Yes! Not so fast.
Don't you understand, you fool? He is the Scarlet Pimpernel.
He is? You mean you are?
What is it, Monsieur? What is the matter? Who called?
Take this fellow into custody. Guard him carefully. He is dangerous.
It seems you have overplayed your hand, Monsieur Pimpernel.
I told Citizen Chauvelin last night that if you ever shut your nose in here, I would nab you. And by heaven, I have.
This is ridiculous. It is all a plot to get Veradoux free. I tell you, that man there is the Pimpernel.
Oh, if you must bluff, you should do it more subtly, my friend. As Captain Tourville already knows, Veradoux was taken from his prison in Chauvelin's custody 9 hours ago.
What?
Absolutely. I handed him over myself.
I tell you, I am Chauvelin.
Read him the letter, Captain, the one I just gave you.
Certainly. The man accompanying the bearer of this note, who purports to be me, is an imposter. I believe him to be the Scarlet Pimpernel. Arrest him. Signed.
Chauvelin. But I did not
write that. What you did, Chauvelin?
It's a trick, I tell you, a portrait.
Who the hell did you mean?
Listen, you've got to listen. Oh,
come on.
Listen to me.
And then, as they were about to drag him out, a door opened, and in walked a man whom I recognized at once as the governor, Colonel Legault.
What's all the noise? What's going on here?
Monsieur, thank goodness you've come. Tell these oafs to take their hands off me.
What is all this, Captain Tourville?
I have just captured the Scarlet Pimpernel, sir. That is him there, disguised as Citizen Chauvelin.
You stupid fool. That is Citizen Chauvelin.
But
I tell you, fellow, I've known him for years. Release him at once, you man.
Yes, we have got him. There he goes! Now here's Pimpernel, sneaking through the door!
In a moment, Marius Goring returns as the Scarlet Pimpernel. Marius Goring as the Scarlet Pimpernel.
Oh, yes, I got away. But only just. By the skin of my teeth.
Sir Percy, how good it is to see you again, monsieur. Did you have much trouble getting away from Paris?
Trouble? Glad, no, madam, not a whit of it. I've had the most charming company all the way.
So it's been from the gathering on the beach?
Oh, those. Oh, just an old friend, you know, a man called Chauvelin. Yes. You wouldn't know him, of course. Tedious fellow, really, but with one saving grace.
What's that?
Not much of a ladies' man, you know. Huh? But on the rare occasions when he does fall in love, he has, I must admit, the most impeccable taste.
The Adventures of the Scarlet Pimpernel, starring Marius Goring, with music composed and conducted by Sidney Thorpe. Produced by Harry Allen Towers.